I have a message from the Lord this morning entitled, I forgot what I call that actually. Can you read it up there? It's either step into the impossible or walk into the impossible. Either way, I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, and God was speaking as we were interacting, and just said some things that really spoke to my heart and just helped me to incorporate it into the message that I'm going to share with you this morning. The message comes from the book of Exodus, around the 13th chapter. But we're going to look at the portions of scripture that come before it and after it. So we're basically going to look at the process by which the Lord delivered the children of Israel, and also that thing into which he delivered them. The picture that we have in front of us is God promising Israel that he is going to bring them from a point of abject slavery into the bliss of pure worship. He was going to bring them into a land of milk and honey, a place where they could have established praise, established worship, where they would not have to worry, they would not have to wonder, they would not have to wander. They would know who they are, they would know where they stand, and their lives would revolve around the worship of God. But not only that, but that they would become a blessing to the nations, and that they would cause men and women around the world to give glory to God and to bless his name. Now, he is making these kinds of promises to them while they are still enslaved. He's making these kinds of promises to them when there is no reason for them, except for his word, no reason for them to hope. Now, when we catch up, if you will, to the children of Israel, they are at the brink of a promise. They are at the shore of the Red Sea. And God is bringing them to that place that he has begun to promise to them. You know the scenario. Their enemies are behind them. There is a great sea in front of them. And God is asking them, in a sense, to step in to the impossible. The scenario that we ordinarily get is Moses stands on a rock, or he stands in a high place, and he stretches out his hands. And as he stretches out his hands, the waters just begin to open. But the biblical account is a little bit different. In the biblical account, there is a storm. And there is a storm all night long, a wind storm, that ultimately God uses to open up the Red Sea. So you see the picture of Moses standing there, but you also see the picture of a people. And this is a people who had just come out of bondage, had just come out of slavery, had never experienced anything like what they are about to experience. They are there with their little children and with their aged parents, and they are probably in makeshift tents because they had to rush out of the land of Egypt. So much so that they just bundled what little clothes they had. They didn't even have time to put leaven in the bread that they had. They just grabbed up what they could grab and they ran out of that place. And so I would imagine that they are at that shore without any serious shelter, without any serious direction, without any prior experience, and they are undergoing probably the most terrifying night of their life. The 10 plagues that had come upon Egypt up until that point, the 10 signs and wonders that God had worked to free them, they were always separated from those plagues. They were always in their own special land, the land of Goshen. And whatever happened among the Egyptians, there was always a clear distinction between Egypt and Israel. So that whenever there was thick darkness in one place, the other people had light. Or whenever there was the waters that had turned to blood, or there were the frogs or the flies or the fire that came down from heaven, this was always something that the children of Israel was separated from on some level or another. They never really felt the pressure of it. But now they are at the brink of a promise. And they are about to move into their destiny, what God had called them to. And in order for that to happen, there had to be a storm. And if you misread the text, you might think that when that wind came, the only people that were affected by it would have been the armies of Pharaoh. But that's not the way it happened. This would have been the one time in which the children of Israel were equally affected by what God was doing. The wind would have been devastating. It would have been terrifying. It would have been the worst night of their life, the most bewildering time, because they knew God was doing something, and now all of a sudden, at the brink of the promise, there was this incredible storm. It's very much like when the Christian person is getting to a point where they have seen signs, they've seen wonders, they've watched God do great things, they felt protected, they felt like there was some distinction that God clearly made between them and their adversary, and now they are at the brink of something wonderful, they're at the brink of the impossible, they're at the brink of a great promise, and it seems that at that time, there is a storm that comes into their situation that does not seem to distinguish between them and their adversaries. That does not seem to distinguish between them and the world. And they could have thought to themselves, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should not have left. In fact, that's exactly what they said. They said, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die? They began to wonder, should we have simply stayed there? Should we have stayed put? In fact, whenever the things began to happen that was happening and the people began to tremble and to fear, Moses said to them at that point, his advice to them was, be still and see what God is about to do, or stand still or stand firm. And then God speaks to Moses. And he said a wonderful thing he said to Moses. You know, sometimes God speaks and there's these really profound words that comes out, right? And in this case, the profound words were, Moses, why are you crying to me? I mean, you see it right there in the text. Moses sounds all theological and he sounds all prophetic, you know what I mean? And he sounds all religious. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And God said, Moses, what are you talking about? Get up and go. Because sometimes that's what God is saying to us. He's saying, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of great difficulty, when it seems like there is no distinction between you and the unbeliever who works alongside of you, when it seems like the storm is affecting you in the same way it's affecting them, and it's hitting you the same way it's hitting them, at times when you and I feel like just standing our ground and hunkering down, and maybe we might even find some well-meaning voices that just says, be still and do what you can to bear it. You hear God saying, now it's time to step into the impossible. Now it's time to move into the thing that I've asked you to move into. Now, if you and I recognize the situation here, we will immediately recognize that there would have been no deliverance without the storm. There would have been no parting of the Red Sea without the storm. But that storm lasted all night. And the people of Israel, we can look back, and they look back in chapter 15, they look back and they sang a wonderful song, but they didn't sing that song that night, right? They waited until they got to the other side of the Red Sea to sing that song, but that night they weren't singing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just don't feel like singing. You know what I mean? That's why I thank God for our choir, because they sing whether they feel like it or not. You know what I mean? It's a wonderful thing to know that in the midst of the storm, it seems to me that at that point, God begins to say to you, now it's time to sing. Now it's time to advance. Now it's time to move. Now, you remember Jesus, the Bible says in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he broke it and he gave thanks. Now, this was in the worst night of his life. The night in which he was betrayed, he was asked to celebrate the Passover. Now, you and I know that the Passover represents the great victory of God. So in a night that seems like one of abject defeat, he was asked to sing the song of ultimate victory. So now you see these men and women in this storm that seems to be unable to discern between the good and the evil. A storm that seems to come and bring fear and destruction and devastation on everybody alike. It can be likened unto some of the things that are happening in our generation and some of the things that are still yet to happen. A kind of a storm that on some levels seems to be unable to discern between those who have been giving and loving and those who have been greedy and hoarding. A storm that seems to be unable to determine between those people who have helped the needy and the hungry and those people who have done nothing more than add to their bank account and drive bigger cars. A storm that seems to be unable to determine this person from that person. That night when that storm came, everybody felt it. The Egyptians felt it and the Israelites felt it. The difference was that for the Israelites, this storm was about to open up the way to the impossible. This storm was about to open for them an opportunity for worship unlike anything that they could have experienced in Egypt, unlike anything that they could have experienced under any other circumstance. This storm was going to open to them the way to Mount Sinai, where they would understand the heart and they would understand the mind of God. This storm was going to open to them the way to Mount Sinai, where they would learn how to worship at the foot of that mountain, and they would learn how to glorify their God. This was going to open to them the way to Mount Sinai, where they would hear with their ears the very voice of God, where God would write with his own hand his words and his heart and his mind, and they would learn how to understand God. They would learn how to hear his heart. They would learn how to hear his voice. They would learn how to know his name. This storm was going to open to them the way to the promised land, a land where they could have established worship, where they would no longer be tossed to and fro and hither and yon with every wind of doctrine. This storm was going to open to them a firm foundation. It was going to open to them a place of mature praise and a place of established worship where they stood strong and they stood firm. This place was going to open to them the promised land, a land of milk and honey, where there was always great provision, where they would never have to wonder where the next meal was coming from, where they would never have to wonder whether it be in the body or whether it be in the spirit, whether they were going to have something to eat the next day, where they would never have to wonder whether or not they would be full or whether they would be filled. This was going to open to them the promised land where they would, from that place, affect the world, where they would make a difference in every nation and every people, where they would begin to fulfill the promise that God had made to their father Abraham, that they would be a blessing to the nations, not just getting by, not just making it through, not just muddling by, but making a difference in the world and impacting the society in such a way as they could never have done from the place where they were. This storm was opening them a pathway into the impossible. It was giving them an opportunity to be something greater than they had ever been. This storm was opening to them a pathway to the impossible. It was giving them an opportunity to impact the world in ways that they could never have done. This storm was opening to them a pathway into the impossible because it was allowing them to enter into God's plan for them, God's promise to them, God's destiny for them, that they would ultimately be a people who would be set upon a hill, a shining city, a city that gives light unto the nations, a community that gives hope unto the hopeless. This was going to be a beginning of days for them. Now, it's important for you and for me to understand that even though the storm that they were going through seemed to make no distinction between them and their adversaries, and them and their enemies, I want to suggest to you that this storm was put there specifically and ultimately for them. Every now and again, the Lord will allow a certain thing to happen in a community because he knows that it is going to allow his people to shine. He knows that it's going to allow his people to come unto their own. Now, for the Egyptians, it was judgment, but for the church, it was redemption. It was a chance to move into the waters of refreshing, into the waters of cleansing, into the waters of baptism, into an immersion into the will and the way and the word of God. It was a time for the church to be pushed into a new place. It was a time for us to go into a situation where we could not go backward, we could not turn to the right hand or to the left, and we could not stand still. There was nowhere to go but forward. There was nothing to do but to move on into the promised land and into the destiny that God had foreseen for us, the destiny that God had promised to us. When they began to step into the impossible, there was nowhere else for them to go but into the promise of God. They could not go back. You know that pillar of cloud that followed them, and it became a pillar of fire at night and a cloud in the daytime, and it went from being in front of them to being in back of them to separate them from their enemies. This was not just so the Egyptians could not come in, but it was because God would not allow the Israelites to go back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as they began to step into the impossible, they would look around them and they would realize that there was only one way to go. Now, I can imagine how they first going through that storm and how the parents were doing their best to huddle their children and to protect them, and how the older folk were holding on to the best that they could, and how the worries and the wonders and the fears were going on. And after all of that, after all of what they had gone through, they wake up, probably most of them just fainted into sleep, and they wake up in the morning and they see these mountains, but they're not mountains. This was the Red Sea. And they see these waters standing on either side of them, looking like mountains and looking like they should come crashing down any second. It must have been awesome in majesty. I don't know if you've ever been to Niagara Falls, but it probably looked something like that, except it went for miles. I went to Niagara Falls one time and I saw some people on, you know, they have this little boat that they call Lady of the Mist or something like that. I forgot what they call it. It's been a long time. And this little teeny boat, and these people are riding behind this huge waterfall on that little boat. I want to tell you, I didn't buy a ticket. You know what I mean? I just watched them. God bless you. I said, I'll see you on the other side. You know what I mean? I mean, for me to go into something like that, it's just not me. I'm not the adventurous type, right? You know? Imagine God saying to people who have been terrified all night, now I want you to step into that. I want you to step into the impossible. I want you to start. But the thing was, all they had to do was take one step. That's pretty much what the Christian life is. It's one step at a time. It's just one step at a time, but it's into the impossible. Now, I want to suggest to you that God had every right to ask them to step into the impossible, because they had seen enough at the hands of God. They had seen his great deliverance. They had seen when he sent two senior citizens in to set them free. Two men hobbling on their canes going into Pharaoh. You know what I'm talking about? Saying, you know, let my people go. You know what I'm talking about? And while you're at it, can I get my social security check? That kind of a thing. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it was that kind of a thing, right? You know? They saw this God who takes what is, by human standards, nothing, to bring great deliverance. And they saw the 10 plagues. They saw how God worked signs and wonders to batter the minds and the hearts, not only of Israel, but of the devils that were leading them. To overwhelm them, to topple them. The Lord will say, I'm going to have my vengeance on the gods of Israel, or rather Egypt. There are no other gods beside the Lord. So obviously he's talking about their leaders. He's talking about the demons that are behind them. He said, I'm going to have my vengeance on them, so that not only will Israel know, but Egypt will know that I am the Lord. And they saw these great signs and wonders, and they saw the Lord's Passover. They saw the victory that came through the blood. They saw the wonderful deliverance that came. They sat in their homes while death was going on all around them. And only because the blood had covered them, only because the Lord had hovered over them, were they safe. They saw what it is to live in a world of death and destruction, and to know that there is hope, and that there is health, and that there is healing, and that there is safety. They saw the mighty hand of God as he led them forward with an outstretched hand, with their heads held high, how they spoiled the Egyptians. In other words, they were able to draw from their enemies. You know, there's a scripture that says, you know, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. And it's Samson's riddle. Remember, he talks about the lion that tried to kill him. And instead of the lion killing him, the lion was used by God to actually nourish him. And they saw how God can take hard times and difficult circumstances and nourish his people. How God can take that which should have eaten us, which should have killed us, and turn and provide for us through it. You see, they were just like us. They saw the great deliverance of God. They knew what it meant to be covered by the blood. They knew how God could extract good even out of evil. They were able to say, just like we were able to say, along with Joseph, the world might have meant it for evil, but God used it for good. Or they were able to say, like we are able to say, along with Paul, that God is able to work good things out of pretty much anything. God had earned the right to be trusted. God had a testimony among the people. He deserved their faith. When I was first starting to open my Bible, the first time I began to read the pages of it, a couple decades ago or more, somebody could have come to me and said, it's irrational. It's not rational. It's irrational for you to believe in a God that you can't see, and so on and so forth, and this, that, and the other. And while I would not have listened to them, I could have understood their argument. It might have been irrational for me to believe in those days. But now, it would be irrational for me not to believe, because I've seen too much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've experienced too much. So while they were looking forward into the impossible, they could also look back at the impossible. They can look back and see the wonderful things that God has done. You know, when we look forward to what God is asking us to be and what God is asking us to do in this generation, how he's asking us to impact the world, or how he's asking us to grow as individuals, you know, some of those things seem impossible. And sometimes he's asking us to do those things while we are going through the most serious storm in our life. And sometimes we just want to hunker down and we just want to say, look, I'm not going back, but I don't feel like I can go forward either. And then we hear God say, what are you crying to me about? What are you crying about this time? It's time to move on. Every now and again, I'll go into the prayer closet and I'm weeping and crying. And I'm like, oh, God, such and such and so and so. You know what I mean? And I'm expecting him to say, oh, come on over here, son. You know what I'm talking about? You know, I don't know why, but I imagine God with a deep voice. I don't know. You know, come on over here, son. You know, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised about a lot of things, right? You know, but anyways, you know, but sometimes he just has to say to me what he said to Moses here, what he said to Joshua and other places. You know, what are you crying for? You know what you got to do. Just take one step into the impossible. Why should I take one step into the impossible? Because when I look back, I look behind me, I see how many steps I've already taken. If we allow God to rehearse his testimony, imagine, oh man, what a wonderful, you know how we have testimony night on Sunday night, you know what I mean? Imagine if God stopped by one night, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's here, you know, this is his house, right? You know, but what if he stopped by and said, you know, I think I'm going to give my testimony for a little bit. You know, in a very real sense, every testimony that's given here is God's testimony, right? It's a testimony of his faithfulness and of his deliverance and so on and so forth. If you would allow God to just sit with you for 5 minutes, or I would allow God to sit with me for 5 minutes and begin to give his testimony in our lives, just what he's done for us. When we look back and we see all of these steps that we've taken, every single one of them impossible. Every single step that you and I have ever taken in Jesus is impossible in the human nature, only possible with God. So what I'm trying to suggest to you is you've already been walking in the impossible. You've already been doing the impossible. I remember one time I preached a message entitled, How to Do Everything. No, and then that was another message. And then I preached a companion message, which is How to Do the Impossible. And basically, I just used that one scripture that says, you know, with God, all things are possible. Or I can do all things through Christ. That was one, how to do everything. I can do all things through Christ. And then the other one, with God, all things are possible. You might not know it, but you've been living an impossible life. If you've been a Christian for any time, you've been living an impossible life for a long time. You know what I mean? I don't want to tell you, because you know, you ever see one of those episodes of Bugs Bunny or the Roadrunner, right? You know what I mean? Where the guy runs off the cliff and he's still running, right? You know what I mean? And he doesn't realize, you know, half a minute ago, he stepped into the impossible. He doesn't realize it. Nobody tells him, so he just keeps running. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes, you know, we kind of just keep it quiet. You know what I mean? You know, I don't want to tell it to you though, but you've been walking in the impossible for a long time. You've been doing the miraculous for a long time. You've been doing what you can't do for a long time. Every time you bear witness to the name of Christ, every time you take any victory in any area of your life, every time you say no to sin and yes to God, you're doing the impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been doing this kind of thing for a long time. They can look back at the testimony of God and they can say, yeah, I understand. Then if that's the case, yeah, I can walk out of this storm too. And if this storm is going to prompt me farther into the impossible, then so be it. If this storm is going to ultimately separate me from the rest of the world, then so be it. If it's going to send me forward, if it's going to propel me forward to a place where I can ultimately help the world, then so be it. Whatever it's going to take. Now, there are some people here who are in a storm. You know you're doing God's will. You know you love Him. You know you serve Him. But you're in a storm. And the storm that you're in doesn't seem to distinguish between the good and the evil. Doesn't seem to distinguish between that person who pays their tithes and that person who couldn't care less about the poor. When they start handing out pink slips on your job, they don't ask you whether or not you pay your tithes. Right? They don't ask you whether or not you go to church. When they start giving out pink slips, they start giving out pink slips. When difficulties come, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional. When the doctor has to sit you down and say, you know, there's a problem we're going to have to work with for a little while. He doesn't ask you whether or not you're a Christian. I mean, they might, he or she might, because they might be a Christian, but for the most part, the diagnosis is still the same. There are certain storms that don't seem to distinguish between Egypt and the land of Goshen. But I want to suggest to you, while they don't seem to, they do. While it doesn't look like they do, they actually do. Those storms actually do. Those storms will propel you deeper into the impossible, closer to the praise, the worship, the trust, and the ministry that you are called to and you are designed for. I would like to say to you what Moses wanted to say to his people. Just hunker down. Just hold on. Just hold on. The storm will pass. But that's not what the Lord is saying to you today. That's not what he said in these days. That's not what he's saying now. He's asking you a question. It's not cold. It's not callous. He's your father. I can't imagine how much he loves us. But he's asking you, why are you crying? This is your day. Why are you crying? This is your time. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been praying for. This is what you've been believing for. And if you don't think you can walk in it, just turn around and look at the footprints behind you. If you don't think you can walk into the impossible, just turn around for a minute or two and look how long you've been doing it already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I want to pray with you this morning. For anybody who's going through a trial, whether the trial is on you or whether you foresee it because you're hearing some rumors around the office and so on and so forth, and you're wondering, but Lord, Don't you make a distinction between the just and the unjust? I mean, Abraham prayed that prayer. You're not going to treat the just the way you treat the unjust. You're not going to... No, he's not going to do that. But sometimes he will allow a storm. And that storm might seem like it doesn't discern between the good and the evil. But believe me, it does. And this is your time. This storm wants to push you into the impossible. It wants to push you into the kind of worship that you're capable of by His grace. The kind of ministry that by His grace you are capable of. But sometimes we just need to pray with each other and say to each other, don't cry, because this is your time. Just take one step more. One step more. And before you know it, you will look back from this time. You'll look back, rather, from that time to this time, and you'll see another trail, another trail, another trail, another testimony of hundreds and thousands of steps, every single one impossible. And now God is only asking you one thing. One step more. Dry your eyes for a moment and take one step more. One step into the impossible. Let's stand together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to propel you one step farther into the impossible. He's asking you to celebrate the sacrifice in the midst of your storm. In the midst of what might be the darkest night of your life. He's asking you to celebrate victory, to claim liberty, to claim freedom right in the midst of it. If you want to pray this morning, you want to believe God with us this morning, the altar is open. You come and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We serve a great and a holy God, a wonderful Savior. God has a testimony, and His testimony is seen in your life, is seen in your walk. Every time you pray, you're moving into the impossible. Every time you open your Bible, you're moving into the impossible. Every time you reached out to a needy soul, every time you gave to the hungry, you've moved into the impossible. Every time you allowed God to make your heart say yes when you wanted to say no, and to say no when you wanted to say yes, you've moved into the impossible. And now God is asking you in your storm to just take one more step. One more step. Because that storm is for you. That storm is not against you. That storm is for you. That storm is going to propel you into greater things. That storm is going to cause God's name to be more glorious in your life. It's going to give you an established worship. It's going to give you a mature worship. It's going to give you the kind of worship that can't be moved, because God is always at your right hand. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand in awe of you. We acknowledge you as the great and the holy King. Everything is in your hands. Lord, you have called us to a wonderful relationship with you. You've caused us to bless you and to love you and to worship you. And Lord, you, in your grace and in your mercy and in your wisdom, you know exactly what it takes to bring us to the kind of worship that is able not only to bless your name and to save, Lord Jesus, but to cause men and women to recognize that the Lord our God is God alone. Lord Jesus, we ask you that you help us to help other people. Lord, you open our eyes to the victories that you've already won in us and through us. Lord, those victories that pour out from us. Lord, help us to see the lives we've touched. Help us to see the people that we've saved on some level or another. Help us, God, to realize that we've been walking in the impossible for many years. And now you're asking us to simply take one more step. one more step. God, help us to see the lives that have been changed. Help us to see the souls that have been touched. Help us to see how many have been delivered through our prayers and through our giving. Help us to see how many people have been fed. Help us to see how many people have been given an opportunity to do right because the gospel has been preached to them and because they've been provided for physically and because they've had their houses rebuilt or their stomachs filled and have been given one more opportunity to seek your face. Help us to realize how we've been doing the impossible so that when you ask us to take one more step, we realize, God, you've been doing wonderful things through us already. You've been working the miraculous through us already. You've been doing the impossible through us already. God, we've been walking in this impossible life for a long time. And so we can believe you to keep us on track. We can believe you to bring us into greater things. We can believe you to cause your name to be glorified even more in this generation and more in this church. As you cause us, oh Jesus, to bless your name in levels and in ways that we even haven't begun to imagine. God, help us to move forward. It's not enough for us to simply hunker down. It's not enough for us to simply get by. Help us to move forward in power and in majesty. Cause your name to be glorified in ways that it hasn't been glorified, even up until this point. God, help us to believe for great things in this generation. Help us to trust you for mighty things, God. You have earned the right to cause us to believe for great things once again. God, help us to believe for great things in our personal lives. Help us to believe for personal victories. Help us to believe for moral victories. Help us to believe for emotional victories. Help us to believe for physical victories, physical healings, oh God. Help us to believe. Help us to believe for our sons and help us to believe for our daughters and help us to believe for our mothers and help us to believe for our fathers and help us to believe for our friends and help us to believe for our neighbors and help us to believe for our community and help us to believe for our country and help us to believe for our world, oh God. Help us to believe for great things because we've seen great things, oh God. God, you have a testimony. You've saved us. And you've saved others through us. And we look forward to extraordinary things. Help us to step into the impossible. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.